Hi, I'm Desi Arnaz Jr. Welcome to Letting Go with Guy Finley. Guy is the best-selling author of Let Go and Live in the Now, and is the founding director of nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation. And now, here's Guy Finley.
There actually are great spiritual secrets. They exist. The thing about spiritual secrets is that you can tell them openly. Because the ability to understand something and then the power to integrate it into your life are two very different things. And what I'm going to do in our meeting now is give you one of the greatest spiritual secrets that you will ever hear. The wording is mine. The principle is divine. Such truths do not belong to individuals. However, individuals can be a part of such truths. And when that happens, that individual enters into life and acts in it in a completely different way than prior to such a relationship with a truth, a principle. So I'm going to tell you a couple quick stories, then we're going to dive into some very important material. So first story. Here we go. Take a nice deep breath. A lady goes to work at a large department store, and she's kind of friends with someone in another department. She doesn't know her very well, but she's drawn to her. You know how you can just meet people and you like them immediately, and she's kind of drawn to this person. But over a short period of time, this one lady begins to notice that the other lady is getting more and more sullen and depressed, unhappy. It's clear. And finally, even though they have never really spoken, she walks over and says, "You know, I'm Ruth. We smile at each other from time to time, and I hope I'm not prying into your life, but I can tell that something's wrong. Would you mind sharing it with me? Maybe it would be better if we talked about it." And her friend says, "Yeah." She says, "I'll tell you what the deal is." She says, I'm stuck in an abusive relationship." "Oh," Ruth said, "listen to me. Don't you put up with it for one second. Don't you stay in any abusive relationship. I tell you, no matter what, don't you stick with it." And the lady says, "No, I don't think you understand. You see, I live all by myself. And there's no one else in my life but me." Well, good. You get it, huh? How many of you are stuck in an abusive relationship? Yeah. We get stuck in all kinds of things, don't we? We can be stuck in an inner relationship. We can be stuck in a regret over our past. We can be stuck in our inability to become or do the things excellent that we wish we could do. We can be stuck in our own laziness. We can be stuck in our own ambition. How many of you understand a person can be stuck with the success that he thought he had to have? There's a list that goes on indefinitely about where it is that a person gets stuck. How about this? "Stuck with my thoughts that won't leave me alone, that torment me over and over and over again over what I fail to do or what I fear I might not be able to overcome." So the idea of being stuck is an important one, and it's what we're going to talk about tonight, because the issue before us is a gradual recognition that there is a way that we are given, if we understand what our lives are about, to never be stuck again. So I'm going to read a key lesson to you that I've crafted for this talk tonight. And then after that, I'm going to tell you a story. And we're going to start looking at whether or not, and I put it that way to you, whether or not it is possible for an individual in this life, regardless of the circumstances, the conditions that that person is in, whether or not it is possible for that human being to get unstuck, to be, if you will, unstoppable in their life. That's what we're going to find out, whether or not it's possible. And I say to you whether or not it's possible, not because I know whether or not it's possible, but because you have to find out for yourself. It makes no difference what the speaker understands. I tell you that there's nothing in the universe that can stop a human being who understands what his life, what her life is about. Nothing. So, first story. Here we go. Take another deep breath. Another two friends, and one of them is a traveling salesman who has to go out on the road every two or three weeks, and he's gone sometimes for 3 months on his job. And one of these times, he comes back from one of these lengthy trips, and he drives back into his little city where he lives, and he's driving. And there's a sign over a store, and the sign says, "Custom Cabinets by Kurt." And he's thinking to himself, "No, wait a minute, that's Kurt's place. Custom Cabinets by Kurt, what in the heck's going on here?" And he stops the car and he walks and he says, "Kurt, since when did you become a maker of custom cabinets?" And Kurt looks at him and he says, "Well, you know, I did try for a while making custom chairs. As you know, when you left, I was making custom chairs, but it just didn't work out so well." And his friend says, "Well, why not, Kurt? What was, didn't have any business?" And Kurt says, "Well, I guess you could say that." And the friend says, "Well, what do you mean? Yeah, you guess you could say that. Well, I discovered I don't have any woodworking skills." His friend slaps himself on the forehead. He says, "But Kurt, to build custom cabinets takes woodworking skills." Kurt looks at him like he's stupid. He says, "Yeah, I know, but this, I'm hoping that this time things will be different." That's our life. All the time hoping and hoping and hoping that this time it'll be different. Why? Not because I've changed, because I still have, if you will, the essentials, the same essential life skills, just like in the story. But somehow or other, we think that if we can dream a new life up for ourselves, that whatever it is that we dream up will be the same as having a new life. And over and over and over again, a person comes to a certain point, whether it's 3 months for Kurt as he goes from custom chairs to custom cabinets, thinking that he's going to have a different life because he's named what he's doing differently. Or it takes 3 years or 6 years, where a person gets to the point where, and I think this is essential to make very clear, they find they're stuck again, unable to move on in life, trapped. Not a bad word, isn't it? A person feels trapped from time to time. How many times in your life, and it's important that we're honest about this, do we find ourselves having thought to ourselves, "Well, you know, this relationship, this one's different than the other ones. Or maybe this time, this new career path, this is going to make a big difference for me. Or, you know, I went and I learned how to swim with sharks so that I'd be better in my activities with my family." Sorry. But the point being simply that over and over and over again, take a person who says, "I'm going to be spiritual. You know, I've kind of had it with fighting with the world. I'm going to become a spiritual aspirant. I'm going to awaken and have a real life." It doesn't matter what a person says. There does come a time beyond the shadow of a doubt where that individual realizes that they are indeed stuck, unable to go beyond where they are. And it's that moment that is so precious to us, actually. It's unwanted by most people because what it does is it points out to us that we've been, if you will, ineffective, that we have made the wrong choices, that we have gone down the wrong road to bring about this point where, and what are we working towards here to understand, where I'm not afraid of what life brings to me or what life takes away from me. I'm just not afraid anymore because in the past I've understood that that moment in which life seems to take something from me or life seems to make a change that I'm not prepared for and ask me to be something that I don't know how, in such a moment, all the times before, it was though suddenly a great weight fell from the sky and there I was, unable to move forward, unable to get past my loneliness, unable to get past my fear of speaking in front of a group of people. Unable to get past that concern I have that if I start to try to do something that I'm really interested in doing, there's no way I'm going to succeed because I've never succeeded before. So here you have a point in a person's life where over and over again, he or she reaches this moment where they're stuck in that bed of negative thoughts. They're stuck in that feeling. Ever had the feeling that life lined up like some semi-pro football team, seven deep, against your very attempt to move down and make the goal, whatever it was that you set for yourself? So this is the first point that we stop at, because I'm going to tell you a story now to exemplify what it is that has to be done, and if you will, what it is that happens to us that keeps us from moving past ourselves. Because in the long run, that's what we're talking about, is learning to go past ourselves, because the conditions that we meet in life, without exception, have to do with what we have yet to understand about ourselves. So here's the next story. Imagine a prison. And here's a fellow, he's been by himself in a cell, dirt floor, crude stone walls, a window on one side looking out this way and a window the other way, and been there for a while, and all of a sudden he hears a kind of a scratching noise, and he looks down, and the ground near the cell, furthest away from the window that looks outside towards the ocean, it's starting to move. Now he thinks he's losing his mind, but soon the ground breaks and up pops a head with long hair and a beard. And he goes, "Santa!" No, just kidding. And he looks, and it's a prisoner. And the prisoner goes, "Shh," like that. The fellow, not knowing what else to do, goes, "Okay, shoot." Goes, and he says, "Listen, a group of us," this is the fellow that broke into the cell, "a group of us have been tunneling now for about 6 years. And we finally got to the place where we reached your cell. Now we have ways to cover up my entrance into this, but now it's all on your shoulders, man. All you have to do," the fellow said, and he pointed out towards the window headed at the ocean, "you just start digging here. Go down about 6 feet, and less than 75 feet from this window in that direction is freedom, and we're out of here." Oh, he says, "I love that. It's great. I want to be free. I want to be free." So the fellow says, "Okay, I'll check back with you in a few weeks." Now, you can't be laughing yet. 2 weeks later, the fellow that popped into the cell of the prisoner who was given instructions what to do and where to dig, he pops up and he looks at his friend, and his friend smiles and he nods at him with great affirmation. "You mean anything?" "Yeah, I've done it." So they uncover the hole that he dug, and the man who gave him instructions drops down in the hole. 2 seconds later, he pops up. I said, "What have you done, man?" And the fellow says, "What?" He says, "I told you to dig in the direction towards the ocean. This tunnel that you dug goes back under the wall and into the prison yard." And the fellow looks at him and says, "Well, the digging was easier in that direction." That's our life. Over and over and over again, we reach a point where we come to that moment where we're stuck and it's hard going. And that's when, and now I'm going to give you this secret that I told you about, and then we're going to spend the rest of our time together exploring it. That's when this secret and everything that it entails becomes critical. Here is the secret. The great secret of getting ourselves unstuck, of being empowered to leave behind us those problems that life sets before us, is to understand that before we can learn to walk through whatever stands in our way, we must first take the step of learning to willingly enter into it. I'm going to give it one more time. The great secret of getting ourselves unstuck, of being empowered to leave behind us those problems that life seems to set before us, is to understand that before we can learn to walk through whatever stands in our way, we must first take the step of learning to willingly enter into it. Enter into what? Look, imagine a house for a second that has no windows. Can you get in the house without entering through the door? It's impossible, isn't it? It's the exact same thing with the places in our life where we feel stuck. What's the analogy here? A window without a house without windows, meaning we can't see into it. Do you understand when we're stuck, when we feel like we're stopped by life, can't go any further, no creative juices, no will, no wish, nothing, everything kind of stuck in an abusive relationship? Because let me point this out. That is an abusive relationship. Did you know that when a man or a woman sits in their room at their house or their office or whatever it is, and they look out at their life, and there's nothing fresh moving into them, that individual, whether he's aware of it or not, feels that as a form of an abuse. And that person who feels as though there's no freshness moving into their life, no creative energies, no joy. And what is joy in the long run other than an individual beginning to understand that he or she is indeed created to grow into broader and broader relationships with life? When you examine your own life and you think back at the times that were the most meaningful, the most powerful for you, It's impossible to ignore the fact that the root of those moments had to do with an instant in which there was an integration that took place in you and the world that was around you, whether it was a person or a place or a thought, where you were no longer subjected to that condition, but rather now that condition was there as something you understood so thoroughly it no longer held you captive. This is the most important point that a person can ever come to understand, that in order to get unstuck, we must not dig in a direction away from what has compromised us or seems to, but rather we must grab our psychological tools, our spiritual understanding, and enter into that moment itself. When we do that, everything changes, and I'll show you why that's true. What does it mean that we must step into the barrier before we can be free of it? Because that's what we're talking about. And how many of you know how difficult that is? Whatever that barrier or blockage may be. You know, maybe I just don't think I have what it takes to succeed at something that I... How many of you ever have a love of something that you'd like to do, but you think to yourself, well, you know, there's no point in that. You fill in the blank. And the issue here is that what happens to us in moments like that? We look out and we feel crippled, paralyzed, stuck. Dead. Dry. And what I want you to understand is the actual condition that's causing that. So we're going to get some new knowledge right now. We're going to slow down a little bit, take a deep breath, everybody, because we're going to look at the four elements that are the secret nature of any barrier that stops us. The four elements. There are four elements at any moment in our life where we feel stuck, where we feel something has stopped us. And here are the four elements. Then I'll explain them. The first of the elements is a set of temporary conditions. We look out at life, something happens, someone leaves us, something changes, and we look at life and the condition that we see makes us feel as though there's no hope for us. How about this for a condition? Ever get sick and think that the whole thing was over? Can't do anything? Stuck? So the first of the four elements behind any barrier that stops us is this set of temporary conditions. Now the next element in this barrier is our resistance to that perception. That's the next element. Our resistance to that perception. What does that mean? I look out and something's happened. I want to make a change in my life. But when I look at the condition of my life, the temporary condition of it, I can see, you know, there's no way that's going to happen. So I see, first of all, a life that seems to have no hope in it, and then comes up my resistance to my perception. In other words, I start to not want the very thing that I see. I don't want my life to be like that. And what is it that I don't want my life to be like? What I see it as being. Are you understanding me? I want to go slow enough if you understand it. So the first element is the set of conditions that I see. Then the next element is my resistance to that perception. In other words, like, I wanted to become something different. I wanted to do something different with my life. And then the door slammed. Or it never had the chance of opening for me. And so I look out at life. I feel this great resistance and sometimes rage and resentment towards my friends or family or life itself because it's denying me what it's denying me. And in that moment, I'm caught in that second element. The third element, which is critical to understand, is that we then become identified with our own negative reaction. So first I see what I think has stopped me, then I don't want what I see, and then I actually get caught up in being identified with these negative, with anger. How many of you ever feel angry that you didn't get the break someone else got? You didn't get the fair shake. You name it. How many feel like, well, I didn't get a mind like so-and-so or a heart like so-and-so. If only I had that, it's not a fair shake. So we feel resentment. We feel disappointment. How many of you ever feel like you're just not adequate? These are things that we all feel and get stuck in from time to time. So, first, the conditions that I see, then my resistance to that, because I don't want life to be like that. Then comes my identification with my own negative states. I become identified with, and this is the next step, this conviction I have that I can't possibly get past what I see. And it's if you can understand those elements, what I think I see, my resistance to it, the fact that I get negative now because of life's unfairness. And then key element is that in that same instant, I don't see anymore what is. All I see is the way I feel about my life. Have you ever tried to do something? I don't care what it is. You wanted to break out. You wanted to do something creative. You wanted to do something artistic. You wanted to make a new relationship. You wanted to do something. And when you looked at the possibilities at that moment, that there you were faced with what you were hoping to do in life. But life said, as the life you see, there's no way. Sorry, Charlie. Nope. Do not pass go. No $200 for you. And in that split second, when you look out and you see a life like that, isn't it true that in that split second, I wish it weren't like that. So I resist it. I don't want life that way. And then when we don't want life that way, then don't we feel frustrated or fearful or angry or worried or stressed because life is denying me what I want? And the point here is that at a gradual point, this conviction grows in us due to being so identified with our own negative state that all we see from that point on is this negativity. We become a captive of our own emotional state. We're not a captive of the condition anymore. That's even ceased to be important. All we do and see is what we feel, and that's where we get stuck. You are not stuck in life. You are stuck in what you've told yourself life is about. And when a person gets the smallest hint of that, even a tiny indication, then a new kind of work can begin. Because you see, all four of those elements that seem to be the nature of that barrier that has us stopped, all four of those elements are born out of one thing. And that one thing that they're born out of is that we don't understand the real nature of life. Example, we talked about a set of conditions that we see as the first element in what stops us. When we look out at life, what are the elements that we're aware of? I look at somebody and they don't like me and I'm stopped. But you see, the conditions of life include not only these personal things, our thoughts and feelings. Because have you ever been stopped by your own thought? Really, it boils down to that. I want to make a change. I want to work at something. And everything in me tells me, sorry, no go, not going to make that. And then a thought will actually dominate me. Or I can be born under certain social circumstances. I can be born in certain conditions where I don't have the same opportunities, physically speaking, that others do. I can also sometimes be subjected to conditions that are planetary. A global crisis of some kind, terror, economic problems. And without knowing it, I can also be subject, and by the way, we're subject to all four of these at the same time. I can be subjected to celestial influences. My life can be sitting at home and I can have something pass through me, a certain feeling pass through me, like a despondency or a tension or an anxiety, and never even have an inkling that what I'm feeling at that moment is being produced by a condition literally outside of me, but that I receive inwardly in a set of impressions and feelings. And here's to the point of it, because I said that the first of these elements is this idea when we look out and see these conditions outside of us, we don't understand that all conditions are temporary. All conditions are temporary. There is nothing in life that isn't temporary. Nothing. Which means, if we can start to understand that when we look at life and we see it the way we do, our problem starts with this idea that in that instant in which these elements I talk about, and I see this set of conditions, you tell me what happens. Don't they seem as solid as they can possibly be? You know, I can't. Like, when you say, I can't, first of all, let me throw this in. There's no such thing in true spiritual vernacular as the words, I can't. None. What we can do is begin to understand from our own experience of working with the ideas that we're talking about now, that life is not this block of concrete. Ever had a block of concrete in your heart? Ever want to try to do something or say something to someone? How about that? Ever just want to be kind? Maybe tell your husband or your wife that you love them or say something sweet to an individual. Say something flattering to a person because all you do is expect flattery and you know you should say something because that person has earned that right to hear something true. And you can't speak it. You can't find it in your heart. Why? Because there's a block of stone there. Well, what's the nature of that stone? Because aren't I stuck there? Do you understand that? Do you want to go through life wishing that you had been different, wishing you could have said something different? Or as an individual, do you realize that what you really want to do in life is to start breaking this stuff away? Because that's what we're intended to do. We're intended to understand these conditions so thoroughly that at a gradual point we realize, you know what? I'm sitting here and I feel depressed. When I'm depressed, am I not pretty darn solid? Yes or no? And what is the nature of my solidarity when I'm negative and depressed like that? Have you ever thought about it? See, the mind will say, well, I'm stuck in this going nowhere job. I'm stuck in this relationship. I'm stuck never getting the credit that I deserve. You fill in the blanks. And what you'll see is that your mind has looked upon a condition, and it has named that condition as being the very cause of, the root of these negative feelings that you have. And the more one considers the root of these negative conditions that they say have them stop, the more real it becomes for them, until there's no question of seeing whether or not it's a fact that you're actually in a position someplace that you can't get out of. Because for you, the fact now has been determined by the depth of the negative state in whose grip you are.
You're listening to Letting Go with Guy Finley. For more information about Guy's life-empowering ideas, visit GuyFinley.com. We'll be back in a moment.
Love, the brightest and most powerful force in the universe. Love melts stress and cancels resentment. It gives birth to kindness and is the fuel of success. Love is at the heart of every great relationship and is the true essence of lasting peace. In his new book, Apprentice of the Heart, best-selling author Guy Finley explores lessons in life only love can teach. This breakthrough book contains the tools you need to strengthen and deepen all of your relationships with family, friends, coworkers, and with the present moment itself. Apprentice of the Heart, available now at GuyFinley.com and fine bookstores everywhere. Joseph Polansky of Diamond Fire magazine writes, "The reader is lifted up to a whole new realm, a rarefied region of the soul." To order your copy of Guy Finley's Apprentice of the Heart, visit GuyFinley.com. That's GuyFinley.com. The relationship your heart longs for already exists.
Welcome back to Letting Go with best-selling author Guy Finley.
How many of you can understand that idea? It's so important to understand that. We look out and say, I just can't. There's nothing in me that can do this. There's no way I'm going past this. And you're not seeing life as it is. You're seeing a life that has been stopped in your own mind by a set of negative images whose negative content has decided that there is only this cement-like state and there's no getting past it. And it's a lie. And you know why it's a lie? Because real life is not made of cement. Real life is fluid change. That's what real life is. Fluid change. Nothing that you see, nothing that you think you look at, nothing you experience as being a condition in which you are stuck, nothing that you look at and see as being a solid is actually a solid. What is made solid in you is these negative states by resisting the condition over and over and over again. And that's what makes it feel so impassable, so real. But it's not. It's not. And if nothing else, if a person could just learn to realize, you know, I'm looking at what I want to do, just at whatever level, and I don't see a way. Now, when I don't see a way, what am I really looking at? Am I looking at life as it is, in which everything depending upon my relationship is in a state of change? Am I looking at a world that's constantly changing, or am I looking at it through an unchanging negative state? Yes, I'm looking at the world through an unchanging negative state. Oh, what a discovery. Because you see, the negative state feeds on itself, doesn't it? If you've ever been, anybody here been negative? If you've ever been negative, all it does is tell you what you can't do. Did you ever have a negative state tell you, you're free? No problems. Walk through this problem. It doesn't exist. Negative states don't say stuff like that, do they? What they say is, it's going to get worse. Not only is it going to get worse, but I think this is the end. Because, well, after all, what else is there now? Things are gone. You're a goner. That's what negative states do. And, of course, without knowing that what is unchanging is the negative state, pointing at a world saying it's the world that's not changing, we simply do what? We sit back. I'll tell you a quick story. I have, where I live, wild turkeys. Now, some people think, oh, lucky you, but that's because you don't have wild turkeys. Wild turkeys are something else. But to the point of this story, I have several bird feeders, and they're meant for finches, which weigh 1/1000th the weight of a big tom. And these wild turkeys have discovered that they can fly up to this feeder. And they have decimated the feeder. It's the fact the feeder is no longer the feeder it was. It is now half the man it was. So I had to think to myself, what do I do about these turkeys? Because I can't have them landing. Because see, when they took the platform away, now they sit on top of the house and they reach down with their big long neck and that thing that hangs like that. And they take the seed. I have to stop the turkey from doing that. So what I did, much to the chagrin of my wife, was I took a large metal bucket and a big piece of wood and I fashioned them on top of that house so that when the turkey landed there, the thing would give way, scare the turkey, and that'd be it. Now, okay, all right, you laugh. This was genius because now here's the problem. And this is actually goes back to the fellow digging in the wrong direction. See, we don't stick with much. So I put it up there. First time bird lands up there, bang, crash, and all the turkeys run away. I put it up there again, bang, crash, all the turkeys run away. Well, after about 12 times, the turkeys don't fly up there anymore. I don't even need to put that thing up there anymore. Now, what am I saying to you? I'm saying that a turkey can only do what a turkey does, which is have a moment of collision with life, a crash takes place because they engage something, and after the crash, they can only respond mechanically and run for their lives from that crashing sound that they think is endangering them. So it is with human turkeys. It is, if you can see it, you run into something, you want to get on top of something, you want to fly to a new level of yourself, and you make one effort, and you get there, and the thing crashes down. And what happens when what you want to do crashes down in front of you? Can you say gobble, 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 gobble? You run away. Maybe you give it one more chance, one more try. I'm going to see if I can't get through this thing. And when you fail, you run as fast as you can from the condition that your mind tells you has stopped you. It is not the condition that has stopped you. It is what you don't understand about yourself. That's the only thing that stops us. And when we begin to recognize that it's possible for any individual so willing, in fact, to the point, I was mulling over some of these ideas, and I realized you look at certain people's lives. You look at a Lincoln, or you look at a Thomas Edison, or a Ford, or an Einstein, or you take a fellow, his name was Kettering, Charles Kettering. He was really the progenitor of car batteries, Delco. That these individuals, without exception, when you look at their lives, in fact, Edison used to go down every morning to his lab where all of these students were, and he would ask them, the first thing he would ask them is, what have you done to learn something new today? What have you done to learn something new today? That's the first thing he'd ask them. And what he meant by that is, here we are, we're trying to get past a problem that we have. And you know we're stuck. And in case you don't know, Edison did something like 10,000 different versions of a filament before he actually stumbled on what made a light bulb light up. When we can begin to realize that inherent in our lives is an attitude that we have been conditioned to accept, that when we run into something in life and we get stuck there, that means that the only solution to our inability to move forward, our inability to grow, because that's what we're talking about, that in that moment, there's something in us that's subversive and it turns us around. It gives us enough dose of darkness, enough negative thoughts and feelings about our condition that the conviction sets in that I can't. That I won't get through this, that I can't get past that, that this is too much for me. And listen, I know how this sounds. This is not, I am not talking, this is not motivational. My God, don't make that mistake of thinking that I'm talking to motivate you. The reason that I'm talking about this idea is because a person who doesn't come to understand that the only thing we meet in life ever that stops us is what we don't understand about ourselves yet. That's it. Nothing else. Because until we understand that, what happens is that we run into that moment, that condition, that relationship that has us held up, and fear sets in. Fear starts to talk to us. It tells us that we're not up to it. We won't. That we don't have what it takes. And once fear starts talking to us and that negative state sets in, we begin to see what the negative state tells us is true about ourselves. And we're not here on this planet to see life through the eyes of dark states. We're here on this planet, if you will, to understand the next very beautiful point. So take a deep breath, because I'm going to take some pains to explain it to you. Everything happens in our lives, no exceptions, according to how we interact with the moment. Everything. Have you ever surprised yourself? Maybe you're with somebody and for some reason or other, you're not even feeling good. And out of nowhere, you say something that's, you actually go, did I say that? Because you say something maybe that's nice, or you say something encouraging, and in that split second, a condition that you thought the moment before could only be dark or headed downward, suddenly it's changed. And that person that you're talking to now, they kind of light up a little bit. And when they light up, you kind of light up. And what was part of a seemingly dark moment turns into a bright moment. Have you ever had a situation like that? Have you ever been, and this is maybe too dramatic, but have you ever been absolutely sure about something, wasn't going to go right, and you know, all the rest, and then something happened, whatever it was, and the next minute you're on the other side of that, and you realize, what was I thinking about? These are small moments in a person's life, but they point to a grand principle. And the grand principle is that we literally take from life in the moment what we bring to it in ourselves. That the way I see the moment is very much the way the moment goes. This is a fact. And when I learn that there's something in me that sees moments darkly, because it serves that part of myself that has that conviction and wants to remain in an abusive relationship. And let's touch back on that. Do you understand that a person actually gives themselves all kinds of reasons why it's okay to feel bad? Have you ever given yourself a reason why it's okay to feel bad? You know, you start whining and telling yourself why it's okay to be a destructive human being to yourself and everyone else around you. Now, when you're in the throes of that, are you aware of the fact that you're literally pouring ready mix on yourself and onto your life? No. But you can step back right now and make a great discovery. And that discovery is that anything inside of me that's talking to me about what I can't do, about what's wrong and why I should feel the way I do, anything in me like that can't be for me, can't be a part of my true nature, cannot be what it is that I am interested in, because it sells me down the river every chance it gets. It starts telling me everything that's wrong and why it's going to remain like that. So you see, we need a new understanding. We talked about this, that we said that we have to recognize that the one cause behind those four elements that we spoke of is that we don't understand the real nature of life. So what is the real nature of life? And what does it have to do with a person discovering in himself or in herself this unstoppable character? It's simple, really. We are, each and every one of us, created to never stop growing. Now, I'll say it to you in a slightly different way, because this is where we have to look at life with a pretty keen eye. In a moment where I'm stopped by life, I feel stuck. Is where I'm stuck greater than I, or am I greater than where I'm stuck? It's greater than I. If I were greater than where I was stuck, I wouldn't be stuck. Tell me, I don't have to explain that to you. If something stands in front of me and I can't get past it, no matter what it is, something in my past, something, a fear of the future, a problem, a worry, if I'm sitting there and I'm stopped, Clearly, my estimation is, the way I see it, is that this thing is greater than I. Now, listen to this, because this is fantastic. In that moment, it's true. But there is a self that sees that moment, that takes that moment and makes something of itself that should never be made. Because you see, if we don't meet things that are greater than ourselves, how are we going to grow? If integration of heart and mind, if our very nature, the purpose of it, is to develop and to be perfected by the living light that allows us to understand the things we're talking about, well, of course I'm going to run into moments where I'm stopped dead in my tracks. I have to. It's designed like that. See, here's your problem. You think it should be designed all open doorways. Right? I mean, what's wrong with life? How come the door's closed? I see it's open for somebody else. What you don't see is that that person runs into a closed door the minute they walk through one. Because that's the real nature of life. It's constantly changing. But it's not changing randomly relative to a person who wants to have a real life. It's changing so that the individual is actually participating in a continual flux of reality in which these moments that stop us, where I can't get past my own negative state, where my heart is dry, my head is empty, whatever it may be, I'm sitting there, and that moment is a grand invitation. It is not the denial of yourself, it is the invitation to transcend the level of self that sees that and gets stopped there because of identifying with it. Oh, look, what I'm saying to you is that we must encounter challenges that seem greater than ourselves so that with the proper address of them, we can integrate those things into our lives, and by the process of that integration of discovering that I wasn't stopped here, I was tricked here, I was misled by my own thoughts and feelings, but, and the point of this, and everyone's had this experience, ever been stuck in a crisis of some kind? Huh? Terrible crisis, can't get out, stuck. And then one day, because of a certain working inside of yourself, suddenly you see, you know what, I was never stuck there. What I was stuck in is an idea that life should be the way I said it ought to be. I wasn't stuck in real life, I was stuck in my ideas about it. When we get that idea down a little bit, we can begin to go to work on ourselves, because the essence of this unstoppable character that we're talking about, and we do have an unstoppable character, we have something inside of us that into which we can bring the whole universe. We can bring every pain, every stoppage, every fear, every worry. We can bring into ourselves, into our awareness of it, this following idea that whatever the condition is that we see, whatever that condition is that we see, that me we no longer have to be. Whatever the condition is that we see, that me we no longer have to be. Because what is it that I am when I'm stuck like that? Am I stuck in life? Life's always changing. Can't be stuck in life. Can't be stopped by life. I'm stopped by my perception of it. And I can change that perception by being willing to do what that key lesson is that I said, which is that I have to walk into it. If I want to go through it, I have to walk into it. If I walk into it and I bring myself to it, in that split second that I come aware and I awake to myself that way, the whole thing, by the very fact of it, and I want to tell you something. I'm going to give you a set of steps, if you will, an exercise in four parts to help you understand this. Because I want you to realize that, you know, you can ever get really excited about, that's it, I'm never going to be stopped again, or, you know, right? I know, I'm there, man. And then you get home and thought comes, one little thought, bam, the door slams. Oh, I knew it wouldn't work. Here are the ideas we're talking about. The seed of wisdom is in knowledge, but the real flowering of it takes place in action. And we have to learn what it means to act towards the principles that we're learning. And in this instance, and it's clear, I want to make it clear, that what I'm talking about, these four simple steps that you can use to break through in a barrier, I want you to understand that I'm giving you a means to understand the condition that you're in. I am not giving you a set of steps that you follow as being the ends in themselves. When you understand that this life, the purpose of it, is for us to continually grow into the understanding that we were created with, then it isn't a question of trying to get to the end of things anymore. It's an understanding that everything serves as a means for our further perfection, for our further understanding. And I'll say it to you more clearly. Everything is a means to which a person can begin to understand that fear has no right to be in his or her life under any circumstances. That what we look out and say has us stopped, that we start to resist, we get negative over, then we try to think to ourselves, what do we control this with? And the next thing you know, a person is all caught up in a host of dark states and fears that are brought about with the wrong perception of life, completely wrong take on it. So here are the four simple steps. The first step, it's going to really surprise you. It's called start. Yeah, that's right. Start. Now, I mean, enter into it. You name for yourself. Maybe you sit at your desk and you have no wish, no will, no feeling whatsoever to do what you have to do. And you look at your desk, you look at your work, whatever it is, and you're flooded with a conviction that you can't and there's nothing you can do about your circumstance. I want you, instead of running from that like the turkeys do, to become the spiritual eagle you're meant to become. What does that mean? I'm going to enter into it. I'm going to start. I walk into that moment. I do not run away from it. What does it mean to walk into it? It means that at that split second, I realize that what I must do is I have to act upon my understanding. I act upon my intention, regardless of what my own thoughts and feelings are telling me is true. Because that's what you're going to have to work against if you've understood what I've been talking about. Your own mind, your own heart, when you're negative, is pumped full of the presence of a series of negative associations whose purpose is to convince you that there's no purpose in trying. You have to understand the lie of it by understanding the dynamic of the mind, of the level of mind that produced that. And when you get that understanding, when you begin to see the truth of what I'm talking about, you okay, all right, look, I'm sitting here and I don't have a bone in my body that thinks that I can change the circumstances that I'm in. Maybe I have no employment. Maybe I'm someone who's in a relationship I can't get rid of or that I can't attract. You, doesn't matter what it is. Maybe I want to become a better man. And I know that I'm filled with unkindness and ambition. It doesn't matter. You enter into it. You start there. That's what the story about the man who dug in the wrong direction is about. What we do is we look at our situation, we put the shovel in, we hit a little bit of rock, we go, well, maybe I'll become something else. Maybe I'll get someone new. Maybe I'll change my life by changing where I live. You've never changed a thing that way, and you never will, because what stops you follows you that way. Step two. Remember, first step is start. Step two, stick to it. Stick to it. What does stick to it mean? This is where all spiritual, where the spiritual road divides between those who find this unstoppable character and those who get stopped by every character they meet. Stick to it. Here's what it means. I'm going to suffer what I have to suffer while I stay entering into it. I'm not going to let my momentary blindness, my emotional dryness, I won't let whatever it is that I'm thinking or feeling guide me. I'm going to stick with my intention that tells me that what I am experiencing, even though it feels real, is a lie. I'm going to stay here with my wish. I'm going to stay here with my wish. That's what it means to stick to it. And I'll tell you something. When you stick to it, here's what the next step is. Then the third step, see what happens. Start, stick to it, see what happens. You know what see what happens means? It means that for the first time in your life, maybe, you're there, whatever the condition is, from your past, fear, you have decided that you're going to change the relationship you have with life. That's what you've decided. I'm going to bring this moment into me. I am not going to let this moment define me. I'm going to use my awareness of the situation, of my unhappiness, my fear, my loneliness, of my conviction that I can't, that there's no way for me to get out of this situation because it's impossible. I'm going to take everything that I have in me that says there is no way, and I'm going to meet it with the understanding that there is a way. Because the world is changing even as I enter into that moment. This is what we have to see. The whole dynamic of a person's heart, of the mind, the body, the planet, the cosmos themselves, I tell you, they are never not going through a constant change. Which means that if I'm in the moment with that change, I can be part of that change instead of being outside of it, convinced that nothing's changing because I'm identified with something in myself that won't change. You have to try to get your hands around this idea so you can recognize, you know what, if I was to just risk it, step into it and see what happens, I would make a discovery. Maybe I would make the discovery that there's a lot more thoughts and feelings yammering at me than I ever knew was in there. Isn't that a discovery? And if I'm aware of thoughts and feelings yammering at me, maybe I can connect that yammering to my stammering, to my stuttering, to my stopping. Because I can start to see, you know, something doesn't... This is the key. Something in me doesn't want me to be unstoppable. Something in me doesn't want me to grow. Something in me doesn't want me to be a part of the perfection of this earth and all the beings on it. It wants what it wants. Its idea of perfection is petrification. And I'm not going to be a part of that. So person, I see what happens. I'm going to start, then I'm going to stick with it. Oh, it's rough sledding because I got nothing. I'm no one with nothing. It's terrible. I'm not a chance. Everything in me is showing me rolls of film. It's like being in a bad movie. One bad movie after the next showing me the results of my efforts. But I understand the truth. I understand the truth. That which places what is before me, that seems momentarily greater than me, is a form of greatness itself, inviting me to find that greatness by transcending what's in front of me. Then a person, the last step, we have start, stick to it, see what happens, and the last step, number four, you won't believe it, you ready? Start again. Start again. Why? Because first, I was willing. I was willing to start. I felt like I didn't. There was nothing I could do. How do you think David felt when he walked out in front of Goliath? I think he walked out there saying, "My lucky day. Nothing going to stop me, brother. Little tiny fellow, this giant Philistine person." You start again. Because you see, if you've done the first three steps, the you that entered into that moment is not the same you that starts again. You've seen something. You've understood something. You have done your part to invite into your life the understanding of your own being, of your own existence. And to the point here is that when a person will start to understand this, they begin to realize that the very deepest meaning of ourselves, the deepest meaning of ourselves, is that we are created to transcend ourselves over and over and over again. That is the deepest meaning of ourselves. We are meant to grow beyond the nature we are moment to moment to moment. And if we're meant to do that, if your heart even gets the hint of that, then can't you understand that every condition we meet is there to serve that purpose? The worst moments of our life where we're stuck like never stuck before is actually there for the purpose of letting us see beyond the shadow of a doubt that who it was that met that moment, I don't have to remain that man. I don't have to cling to the things that he's clung to. Why? Because they're not part of going on. They're not part of the growth that my heart longs for. You start to understand these ideas that I'm talking to you about and practice the four steps. Start. That's the first step. Then stick to it. Go through what you have to go through. Because here's the bottom line, isn't it? I would have started a long time ago if I thought I could have succeeded. Isn't that the bottom line? If I thought I could do this, I wouldn't need this talk. So I have to meet in myself something that's convinced that success is in my nature. I have to meet that. I have to meet those parts of me that have closed the doors over and over and over again in the moment where I need more than anything else to walk directly into it. So I make you a promise to close this talk with. And the promise is that if you will, starting now, because you may not know it, but there are so many different ways in which we're stuck. Any of you stuck reliving something? If we'll simply start, and the moment that we find ourselves stuck with that, begin to understand that the reason we're stuck where we are is because we run as fast as we can from those places. And then turn around and walk into it. You do that, God Himself, truth itself, will see to your deliverance. And I know that's a religious word, but I mean it in the sense, will see to it that you discover that who you are cannot be stopped as long as you're willing to continually enter into the creative life that you've been invited to join.
Hello, I'm Desi Arnaz Jr. You've been listening to Letting Go with best-selling author Guy Finley. To learn more about Guy Finley and his nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation, visit GuyFinley.com, where you'll find a host of free, life-changing information. Thanks for joining us today.